Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
And now I've been joined in studio by playwright and actor Jodie O'Neill, who's also been a regular script and story writer on Fair City. But she discovered recently that she was autistic shortly after her son was diagnosed. Well, after reading and researching autism, her play, What I Don't Know About Autism, is about to open at the Abbey Theatre. Thanks for coming in, Jodie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my privilege. And it's opening actually at the Abbey, I think, from the 1st to the 8th of February. Then it's going to the Everyman in Cork from the 11th to the 13th of February, and then to the Mermaid in Bray on the 15th. First of all, tell me about your son.
Yeah, sure. So my son was born in 2012, and along the way we started to notice that there were little differences, but I was always very confident that, he was just like me. He was very much our child. So we didn't really think anything of it, and then, you know, gradually we realised, okay, well, actually, he's at, you know, 3 or 4, mm-hmm. suffering hugely from anxiety. And so we really wanted to help him to overcome that anxiety so that he would be able to navigate the world around him with confidence. So we went down the road of looking for an autism diagnosis privately because of the length of the waiting lists through the HSE. And he was diagnosed in 2016. He would have a dual diagnosis, so he is both gifted and autistic. So it's called, I suppose, the American term is twice exceptional for these children. And so I suppose it was a big relief for us because we immediately woke up the next day and went, okay, our child is autistic. He is exactly the same child as we had yesterday and the day before and the day before that. Yeah. But also now we have clear guidance as to how we can get support for him. Yeah. And then we started looking at those supports and looking at whether they would work or whether they wouldn't work for him. And there was a lot of, I suppose, what I was a little uncomfortable with is that there's a lot of not autistic people saying what should be done for autistic people. So we started to look at, okay, well, what are autistic adults saying would have helped them? What are the supports that they would have needed as a child? And the wealth of literature and I suppose there's a lot of stuff on YouTube and there's a huge amount of stuff out there that I think isn't necessarily presented to you when your child is diagnosed with autism. And so as an artist, I became fascinated with it and I applied for an Arts Council bursary to start researching and developing a little bit more with the idea of making an entirely fictional piece. Mm-hmm. But as I went deeper and deeper and deeper into the research, I went, well, actually, to start with, we just need to get this information out there. And we need people to know, because if we want to look at a society that not just has autism awareness or understanding, but actual autism acceptance and an inclusive society for everybody, then these are the things that need to be out there.
But when then and why did you decide to get a diagnosis for yourself? Was that a surprise?
It was kind of a surprise. It was more of a gradual dawning, I suppose, that at the outset, I was like everybody else coming into this with, you have really fixed ideas and really strong stereotypes about what autism is and what autism isn't. And then when my son was diagnosed and we started to read around a little bit, so much of the of what I was reading was chiming with me as, ah, okay. And it was like the whole previous 38 odd years of my life were falling into context in relation to this. And also, I suppose, meeting other parents who would have been diagnosed off the back of their child's diagnosis. I think in the 80s, you know, as long as you were just getting on with it, then you were okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really take account of what's going on internally or how you might navigate those social situations that I have always felt is very different for me than it is for the majority of people. And I suppose for a long time, I put that down to just some kind of failing on my part. And so when it started to kind of gradually dawn on me that actually this might be something that I share with my son, which is a lovely thing as well, because it means that we have great company for each other and that I have an understanding of him and he has an understanding of me. But it became important to him as well that he didn't want to be the only person in the family who had autism. So I then went, I had kind of self-diagnosed already, I suppose, but I went down the road of formally being diagnosed.
but hugely, obviously, high functioning. I mean, I assume it's like a massive spectrum, isn't it? But like, yeah. I'm sitting opposite you. You're an amazing playwright. You're so articulate. But what were the key elements of your personality in the end that they decided, whoever diagnosed you, decided you were autistic? Is it the social difficulties?
It's social difficulties. I suppose it would be, people would talk about a rigidity in thinking sometimes. So I would see things in a very literal way a lot of the time. Okay. So for an example, like when I was a child, I remember going on a tour of Photo House in Cork with my mum, and the guide was somebody we knew. And all of a sudden she said, "We have a really big group today, so we're going to have to split you all in half." And I spent the rest of the tour wondering whether we were going to be cut horizontally or vertically, or how this was going to happen. So it's those kind of things. I studied ballet. So this is, masking female autism is a huge thing, because the things that that I suppose for a male with autism, that it might be more apparent visually, but for a female, it's easier to hide it. So I would have studied ballet. So I would have always immersed myself in a structure. So in something that was really structured there, I knew what was happening at this time. I knew what was happening in this place. I knew what to do. And as long as I followed the rules, everything would be fine. But as you become an adult, the world is extremely unpredictable. And those things, you can't necessarily rely on those things happening. So it would be things like that. I suppose the way I navigate social situations, the way I would communicate, and also sensory processing differences are a huge thing for people with autism. So bright lights might bother some people, and it's different. You know, one person with autism is one person with autism. So everybody's needs are entirely unique. But there would be things like smells and tastes and sounds and lights that I process differently from the majority of my peers.
And when you were at primary school, you copied your friends a lot. Were they all called Katie?
Okay, so I had one friend from the time I was four, and her name was Katie, and I was in absolute awe of her. I did everything that she did, and I navigated the world based on her. So if I needed to make friends, I would find the friends that she had made, and I would become friends with them. And then going into secondary school, similar pattern. I had another best friend called Katie. I went to college. I found another best friend called Katie. And it carried on. Now I have other friends with other names now, and they are very dear to me. But I did actually, at a time in primary school, think that I should maybe exclusively be friends with people by the name of Katie, because they were the best people to follow their example. And that's another thing. I mean, females are generally better at mimicking. So you build up, I suppose, an arsenal of things as you go along, and you go, okay, well, this is how I do this. This is how I navigate this situation. And as long as I have a strong visual reference for it, I can navigate it with confidence. But it's when I don't have it, then those things fall apart, which I think is why it becomes apparent in parenthood.
Because also you felt that you were just unlikable. Wasn't that an element of it as well? That getting a diagnosis made it easier.
Yeah, I suppose I started to see, as I was reading more about autism, I started to look for patterns. So things like navigating group situations has always been really tricky for me. So the way through school, through college, I guess in the workplace, I worked as a waitress for a long time. And that, again, is a perfect place for people with autism, because, you know, you have a clear list of things to do. It's a busy environment and there's a script. So that was really easy. And I made a lot of friends through those jobs that I did in my 20s, kind of all the way through to my 30s. But I would have, I suppose I would have looked at myself within those situations going, you're not fitting, it's your fault, and you're probably just basically kind of quite boring and not terribly likable. and I would have put it down to that for a really long time.
So for you, it was a relief to get the diagnosis.
Yeah, it was a huge thing, I suppose, because I'm coming up to turning 40 in March. I have a lot of my life ahead of me.
Yeah.
And to be able to go, well, actually, I can maybe put those things to one side or find out ways of navigating them, or without kind of making excuses for myself, I can go, well, OK, I'm good at this. Let's focus on this thing then. Or, you know, I'm not so good at this, but I'm willing to take a risk by going to this event, which I wouldn't have done before. You know, I would have just found an excuse not to do it.
So tell us about the play.
Yeah, so the play is called What I Don't Know About Autism. And it is what I do and what I do not know about autism. We have an incredible cast. It's performed by 4 autistic actors and 2 non-autistic actors. All of the shows are relaxed performances. So I don't know if you've come across the notion of relaxed performances, but it's the idea of, so theatre can be exclusive because there are a set of rules around it. We have to be quiet. We have to sit in our seats. And so what we're trying to do with What I Don't Know About Autism is to welcome people in. So one of the first things we do is we say, if you need to leave during the performance, that's okay. If you want to come back in, that's okay too. We warn of loud noises in the show, so people can bring ear defenders, and we'll have ear defenders there as well, in case people are sensitive to loud noises. The approach to lighting the show is relaxed.
And you have autistic actors as well, don't
you? We do. Yeah.
Which is great.
Which is absolutely amazing. It was always really important to me in making this show that that we do have autistic actors on the national stage and in our partner venues, the Everyman and the Mermaid as
well. Remind people of the dates, Jodie, just
before. Yeah, so absolutely, yeah. So we first free preview at the Peacock is on the 1st of February, and then we run from the 3rd to the 8th of February at the Peacock. We're in the Everyman in Cork from the 11th to the 13th of February, and in the Mermaid County Wicklow Arts Centre on the 15th of February. And we have a post-show discussion after every show.
Well, it sounds great. Jodie O'Neill, thanks so much for coming in and telling us all about it this morning. We'll take a break.